Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
So how many of you are enjoying the summer? Any tired faces? You got the summer blues yet? Anybody? We're all happy. Yeah, I see a few. I think everybody's ready to go. Let me just say this as I begin this week's message. I believe the Lord has something to say to some of you that's very important. As I prepared this message, I believe that some of you need to hear the exact words that you're going to hear today. And you didn't come here planning on hearing that. You just came because, hey, I'm just coming to church. I'm just going to show up. Or maybe I'm going to try out this new church. Let me tell you something. God doesn't make mistakes. Every appointment that He makes is a divine appointment. And you're here for a reason. We've been talking about a series called Greatest of All Time. And for sake of time, I'm not going to do our usual survey poll that we've been doing every week. Because I think we've been singing about the greatest of all time, and that's Jesus, right? But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to look at it with me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the scripture says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, as we walk this Christian life as believers, there are people watching you. Not just around you now, but in heaven. There are some who have gone before and they are watching you, a great cloud of witnesses. So the Hebrew writer says, so throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Because let me tell you something, in this life you can really get tangled up in some things that you never thought that you could get tangled up in. And let us run with race. Let us run with perseverance. That means consistency. That means a going that keeps on going. That means I'm going to move forward no matter how much the headwind is in my face. No matter how hard it is or difficult to climb, let me run the race with perseverance. The race that's marked out for us. Or you could say it this way, the race that's marked out for me. Not everybody in this room has run on the same track. You've not ran on the same pathway. You've run on some different roads, and some has been a little bit more rocky. Some has been a little bit more uphill than downhill. But we have a race, all of us, to run. So let us not quit that race. Let us be perseverant to pursue and finish that race. Father, I pray this morning as we study your word, that Lord, that you would speak to hearts that are here this morning. That you would encourage us, Lord, and before we leave today, that we would know that you have spoken clearly to our hearts, and you've encouraged us, you've lifted us up, and we are set and determined to finish the race that, Lord, that you have laid out before us. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Leslie. So today we're going to look at a story that we're going to pick up. We've been talking about different people, and we're going to pick up a story of a guy whose story takes up over half of the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. His story takes up half of that book. He's a guy that I know most of you know about, because if you grew up in church, you understood that this guy had a unique style of fashion, okay? He liked to wear coats that had lots of different colors. And so we're going to talk this morning about Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. And a few weeks ago, we talked about Abraham. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. So a few generations later from Abraham, we look at this man named Joseph. And the one thing that I want to point out to you is that Joseph was a guy who had big dreams for his life. Is there anybody in this room who has big dreams for your life? If you didn't raise your hand, you're just not participating. But I know you've got big dreams for your life. You want a successful, a great life. You want to live life to the fullest. And Joseph was one of those guys. But here is the unfortunate part of Joseph's story. As soon as he gets that dream, things seemingly go off the rails. And his life, for the better part of 23 years, takes a totally different turn. This message this morning is to encourage everyone who has ever had life take a turn that was either unexpected to you or you didn't expect God to do this in your life, and it almost seems like your life might have gone in the wrong direction. And for those who are ready to just check it out, just check out. Emotionally, I'm done. Spiritually, I can't go on any further. You've even considered some, maybe even physically, checking out. This message today is for you. This is going to encourage you. Because if Joseph were to come out of the stands, that great cloud of witnesses, if he were to walk out of the stands of heaven as we're walking our race, he were to come down onto the path that we're walking, and he would put his arm around us, he would probably say this. I know that this is what Jacob or what Joseph would tell us this morning. Here's what he would say. He would say this: don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your dreams. Now, there's two subjects in that, and I know that a lot of people talk about Joseph and they talk about dreams. And that's a great idea. I've preached on that before. But I don't want to talk about dreams this morning. I want to talk about the first three words: don't give up. Don't give up. Now, if you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor, I'm okay. Life is good. I've got everything going my direction." Let me just say this. There's going to come a day when you're going to need this message, so you better take notes, because we're either coming out of issues or going into one, or we're dealing with one. And that's just the course of life. Don't give up. Don't give up. I frequently am around pastors. And pastors, I like to do my best to try to encourage them, because God knows a lot of times pastors really need it. I found out this past week in just study that 90% of all pastors, if they could do something else, they would do it. If they could find another way to make a living, they would do it. 90%. It floored me. I also found out that 1,200 pastors in America leave the ministry every month. Every month. It's astounding. And 95% of pastors, I found out also, that they don't have a close friend to speak to. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about pastors, because I know most of you aren't. But I am here to say this, that that's a pretty discouraging bunch of people. Now, I'm fine. I'm like some of you. Hey, everything's good. All right. I'm okay. I'm not discouraged. I'm not thinking about quitting tomorrow. This is not about me. But here's what I want you to understand. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to say, "I'm done." Because you see, the goal of discouragement is to get you to quit. The goal of discouragement and being down is to get you just throw your hands up and say, "You know what? I've tried. Things don't get any better. I'm done with this." And that's exactly how a lot of those pastors feel. I considered myself, and I use myself as an example. Over the past 22 years of full-time ministry, I just thought about all of the times that thought has crossed my mind. I'm just ready to quit. Let's go do something else. I'll pump gas. I'll do anything. Just I don't want to do this anymore. I remember at my first church, the deacons of my first church thought that their spiritual gift was to make the pastor's family impoverished. They thought that that was their blessing. That was what they were supposed to do. Keep us humble. Keep us humble. I remember looking at Shannon, and my office was in a laundry room. It was amazing. You know, I could do a load of laundry and study for Sunday message right there all at the same time. And I was thinking, as the dryer tumbled and as the washing machine spun, I'm sitting there thinking, "God, I'm done. This is crazy." I remember 10 years ago, this next month, when we moved to this city to start a church. Let me just be honest as your pastor. I can't even confess to you how many times that on Monday I resigned and wanted to quit. You know, I mean, I remember in the early days when we were getting started in some things, and I was preaching and getting after it, after it, you know? And I was so worried about, you know, let me tell you something. We weren't good at very much, you know. Our band needed some work, you know. We're worried about lights, you know. We'd have this the wrong words would come up on the screen, and I'm thinking, God, if I was a guest here, I would never come back. I mean, one of the problems we had, I know when we started at Journey was we were in a theater, and every time that I would walk across the stage, which was down at the bottom, you know, if you've, and I know some of you have done this, you spill your Coke in the movie theater. Well, they all slope down. Well, all that Coke, you know where it ends up? At the front. Well, that's where I was walking. So I would be trying to preach, and my shoes are going. One Sunday, I'm preaching. I get all excited, and I start moving a little too fast, and I've got slip-ons, and my shoe comes off. So I'm preaching like this. And I'm thinking, Lord, if any guests, if any visitors show up today, they're going to think we're nuts. They're never going to come back, you know. And I tried to just impress and you know, tried to, you know, just be so perfect and everything. God says, look, you just need to relax and let me build my church. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's your church. I forgot, you know. I mean, I've preached series. This may shock you. I've preached series. I remember some series, marriage series that I've started. I would get ready to preach that series, and the Sunday that I'm supposed to start on preaching on marriage, Shannon hadn't spoken to me in a week, you know. And that's just the way it was. God's like, this is not, I feel so inadequate. This is ridiculous, you know. I'm trying to teach on marriage, and I can't even get along with my own wife, you know. I'm being honest. In those moments, you feel so inadequate. You feel like I just want to quit. All of us have had those moments. Come on, be real. We've all had those moments where I just want to quit. I just don't want to do this anymore. Let me just encourage you this morning with God's word that the next time you have one of those moments, I want you to remind yourself of Joseph. Look with me in Genesis chapter 37. The scripture says this, verse 5, Joseph had a dream. Just like all of you, you got a dream for your life. You got a plan. You think God has given you a plan. God has given you a dream. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Now, let me just say this. Joseph may not have been the sharpest tool in the shed, because what he said and how he said it may not have been the best way to go about it. But here's the issue. Joseph was the baby of the family. He was the youngest, and there was a little bit of favoritism. Okay, so some of you who are the baby in the family, just know this. We all know that you get the benefit of the doubt, all right? We all know that, all right? The baby always gets the extra, okay? Because that's mama's baby, you know. Joseph was the baby, and he has a dream. God gives him a dream, and his brothers already saw this favor to this family tension going on, and when he tells them the dream, they hated him all the more. This is what he said to them. So here's the dream. He said, well, here it is. Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field. And then suddenly, just out of nowhere, my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your measly little pathetic sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Probably not the best tact, okay? Probably not the best way for baby to talk to his older brothers. So time goes by, same chapter, Genesis chapter 37, time goes by, they're all out in the field, they're all talking, you know what, this kid, he's got to be dealt with, he needs to be put in his place. Joseph's walking back to the field to approach them, and what do they say in verse 19? They say, here comes that dreamer. That kid that thinks that he's got the tiger by the tail, and he is just going to chase down life, and he's just going to do it, Josh, the way he wants it, that God's got a plan for his life. Here comes that stinking little brat, that dreamer. They said to each other, so let's just kill him. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, or like an empty well, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, and then, look at this, then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Well, talk about a dysfunctional family. Thank God that some of y'all didn't have brothers or sisters like that, because we'd still be looking for you in some cistern somewhere. We'll see what comes of his dreams. Joseph gets a dream from God. And he probably didn't share it the right way, but I want you to understand this. Look, he gets this dream from God, and he goes to share this dream. And as soon as he shares the dream, the plan that God has for his life, look what happens. His life goes sideways. Amen. 23 years sideways. Now, I don't know. 23 years is a long time for some of us. But the words of Joseph would say this. Don't give up, Scott. Because trust me, I know what it's like to want to quit. I know what it's like to want to give up. And here's the seriousness of this message. For some of you who have fought that process, it can be dangerous sometimes to go down that road of discouragement, because it can make you say things that you really, really don't want to follow through with. It can make you think things that aren't even there. And Joseph tells us, he says, just don't give up. Let me give you four things that I believe Joseph would say. Number one, he'd say, don't give up on your dreams. Number one, even if you don't start very well. Probably not the best way to introduce his dream to his brothers, right? You know, you're measly little sheaves. Yeah, they're going to bow down to me. Let me just say this. Most people in this room probably didn't start very well. You didn't start off good. Most people, and to be honest, most people don't struggle with the potential that God has for their life. Most people struggle with the resume of their past. That's really where the issue lies for a lot of people, because they think that the resume of their past is what predicts the potential for their future. And so they get hung up. And Christians get hung up right there because they think that, you know what, I just can't get unhitched from the past that I have lived. Friends, let me just tell you this. I want to encourage you this. When Jesus comes and he saves somebody, he takes your sin and your foolishness and your dumb choices and all of those decisions that you made behind you, and he sets them away from you, and he unhooks the trailer. He unleashes you. He frees you from the connection of your past. He destroys that resume. It's gone. He does away with that, and he sets you back on track to give you the potential that God said he wanted to have in your life. Most people don't start very good. We don't start very well. And Satan is the one that always comes and reminds us, because he's the accuser. He comes and tells us, hey, look, why in the world do you think that you can worship God the way you worship on Sunday mornings? Didn't you remember what you used to be? That's the devil's work. Reminds me of a story of a guy. He walked into a pet store and he walks over, and he's kind of looking at some things, and there's a little parrot sitting over there, and the parrot says, hey, you. The guy looks over. He says, hey, come here. So he walks over to the parrot, gets over there, and he says, yeah? He goes, you're the ugliest man I've ever seen in my life. And the guy's offended. He's like, what? So he goes to the pet store owner. He says, hey, look, this parrot over here, he's telling me I'm the ugliest human alive. He said, what kind of store is this? So the pet owner goes and he tells that parrot, he said, look, quit telling people. You're going to run off all my customers. Don't talk about people like that. So a few months go by. The guy comes back in the pet store. He's looking around. Same parrot still in that store. Guy's over there. Parrot says, hey, you. Guy walks over to the parrot. Let's try this. Can you hear me now?
Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointed me to his service. He considered me faithful. The guy that held the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen. Look at verse 13. Even though, what powerful words when God says, I know who you are. Even though I know your past, I still love you. I still can use you. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Don't give up on the dream that God has for you because you don't start very well. If you weren't raised in church, it's okay. God's grace is big enough. Secondly, don't give up on your dreams, even if those closest to you don't support you. You see, some people can get to the place in their life where they say, I'm done, I quit, based totally upon the rejection of other people. Some of you know what it's like. You've had a marriage fail, and you've struggled to move forward because you feel like that rejection has damaged you, and now you're just damaged goods. Don't give up on the dream that God has for your life. Joseph, his family had rejected him. I mean, even Jesus had to deal with this idea because look at Jesus, his own family. They were all gathered together one day and Jesus' brothers were all there. And they actually thought he was mental. Don't pay any attention to Jesus. He doesn't know what he's talking about. His own family took offense. In Mark chapter 6, they took offense, the Bible says. They took offense at him. And Jesus said, only in his hometown, among his relatives, his own house is a prophet without honor. Jesus wasn't even honored by his own family or the people who were closest to him. Now, I know it's one thing to be hated by your enemy, but it's another thing to be rejected by those that you think love you. Joseph was sold out by his brothers. But Joseph hung in there. He hung in there because God had given him a dream. So don't give up on your dreams, even when the people closest to you don't support you. Don't give up on your dream, even if your journey is full of surprises. As a pastor, you know what part of my job is? Part of my job is to help you to navigate life's journey so that you can make your life exactly what God wants your life to be. But here is the truth that you have to know. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Here is a truth you've got to know. Whenever God gives you a dream, you will never go from point A to point B in a straight line. Never. God never will take you on a straight line from A to B. The Bible says he will make our path straight, but every path I've been on has looked just like that. It's straight for the first couple of steps, and then we may make a turn, and then it'll be straight. But going from point A to point B in your life will have a whole lot of detours and some dead ends, and there may be a little dry places in there, but God is going to use that in order to change who you are. Because Joseph says, look, don't give up even if you don't feel like you're moving in the right direction. If you feel like you're moving further away from the dream that God's given you. Here's what I listed. 9 events in the life of Joseph. I'm going to read them to you, and then I'm going to have you help me to respond to them. There are 9 really important events in the life of Joseph. Number 1 is that he was misunderstood by his family. Number 2, he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. Okay, this rich guy in Egypt. Number 3, he lived in a strange culture far from home. Talk about living in a strange culture. I've done that as a missionary. I've lived in a strange culture, and the pressure is immense. You would want to give up if you could.
And then fourth, he was given God's favor in Potiphar's house. That's one of those things where he comes into Potiphar's house. He becomes the second in command, the chief of staff, if you please. And Potiphar had a beautiful wife, and she's in there. And, you know, Joseph was a handsome guy, kind of like myself. Why are you laughing more now? Why are you laughing? Okay, I'm going to move on. She tries to seduce Joseph. She tries to seduce him, and the Bible says that she tried to lay hold of him, and what'd he do? He slipped that coat off. I've told young people before, I've said, look, when you get in the middle of temptation, I've told my kids this, you run, flee the appearance of evil. You flee. I remember one time early in my ministry, a young kid, I told him, I said, look, you call me whenever you feel like the temptation is overwhelming you. It's like 2 a.m, phone rings, I'm like, what? Pastor, I'm close. What should I do? Run. That's all I can think of. I'm having, run, just run. You mean it? Really? Run? Yeah, run. That kid told me he jumped up and took off. He ran out of the house. He took off running. Let me tell you something. A good jog will wake you up when you need to be woke up. One time, Shannon and I, we were driving late. We were coming back. I'd preached at a church, and we were coming back home. It was like 3 a.m. I'm trying to drive back home, and I am sleepy. I'm doing like this. So I pull the car over. Shannon's asleep. I pull the car over, and I get out of the car, and it's like in the middle of December. It's freezing cold. I just got down to my T-shirt, and I got my lights on this old West Texas highway, and I'm running up and down the road. And Shannon wakes up, and she looks at me, and she's like, what are you on drugs? What happened? I said, honey, a good jog will wake you up. And that's exactly what happens. Joseph runs. He gets away from the favor of God. Then he's falsely accused by his wife. Nothing happened, but what'd she do? She said, he raped me. He's thrown in prison. In prison, he's put in charge of all the prisoners. And he's forgotten by the cupbearer. In that relationship where he interprets the cupbearer's dream, and the cupbearer goes, he said, hey, look, I know I interpreted your dream. Don't forget about me. And he goes on, and for 2 years, he forgot about him. He remained in prison for 2 years longer. Then he ends up interpreting Pharaoh's dream, and then he became the second in command in Egypt. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to list those 9 things again. And this is really going to drive a point home because you're going to recognize something. I'm going to list all those 9 things. After I say it, here's what I want you to respond. I want you to respond, would this cause Joseph to want to give up or to go on? Okay, are you ready? So help me out this morning. He's misunderstood by his family. Which one, give up or go on? Now, come on, we need a little bit more participation than that, all right? Okay. Give up or go on? Give up. All right, he's sold as a slave to Potiphar. Which one? Give up. He lived in a strange culture, far from home. Give up. He's given favor in Potiphar's house. Go on. That's good. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He's thrown into prison. He's put in charge of all the prisoners. He's forgotten by the chief cupbearer. He remained in prison 2 more stinking years. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He became second in command in Egypt. Go on. Here's the application. Your life is just like that. Your life is just like that. Joseph had twice as many moments in his life that would have compelled him to want to give up than to go on. Think about it right now. I want you to think about your life. Think about your spiritual life. Think about your family. Think about all of those things. Your life is just like that. All of these give up moments. The question to you is, when you have that moment, what are you going to do? Will you give up or will you go on? You have to discover the answer that kept Joseph in the race. And it's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says this. And say these 2 words. We know
that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The problem is not that we think that God works good. The problem comes when we don't really know it. Sometimes we're convinced that God is really at work and he's doing good things, but there are times when we question that thought. We have to know that everything that is happening in our life, God is working for the good of us. Everything. So don't give up on your dreams, even if the journey is full of surprises. And finally, don't give up on your dreams, even if it takes a long time to realize it. Let me tell you something. 2 years in prison is a long time, but 23 years is also a very long time. That's a long detour. From the time that God's given you a dream and he's kind of set you up and he's got you moving. Think about it. From the age 17 years old to the age of 40, Joseph and his life just runs the gamut. Everything. All the way across the board. Interpreting dreams, finding favor with people. Those are awesome moments. But what about those moments where you're sitting in the corner of a prison smelling the slop of another prisoner? Habakkuk 2:3 says this. The Living Bible says, but these things, just think about it when God speaks to you, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. Those three words, slowly, steadily, and surely. That's how God works. Slowly, steadily, surely. He's certain. Because the things that God has spoken to your heart, they may not happen right away. But slowly, steadily, and surely, the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, don't despair. If what God promised you in your life seems like it's going to take forever, don't lose it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't despair, because these things will surely come to pass. God promised them. So look what he says. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. God knows what he's doing in your life. Some of you may be hurting this morning. You may be struggling. You may this week have said, you know what, I am just done. I'm over it. Don't give up. Don't give up. So Joseph has walked with us, and he's gave us these ideas about our dreams to keep on moving. And I just think that there's a few parting words that he would probably leave with us. First of all, he would say, focus on what happens in you and not to you. That, my friends, can change your life. Focus on what's happening in you, because you have a role in the whole process of what God's doing in your life. How I know that you understand this fact is it's not that you ask the question, God, why is this happening in my life? You understand this principle when you say, God, what do you want me to learn right now? Do you see the difference? Instead of, God, why are you letting this happen to me? You're focused on what's happening inside of you when you say, God, what are you trying to teach me in this moment? That's a big difference. That's a principle that can really, really change you. 1 Peter 1 says this, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested. As fire tests and purifies gold, The impurities are taken to the top and they're scooped off. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. Stay in there. Stay in the fight. Stay in the struggle. James 1:2, we're used to this verse. He says, consider it pure joy. There it is again. Be happy. Be glad. It's okay. Know that God is still working the good. My brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance to run the race that he's called you to run. to finish. So quit blaming your spouse. Quit blaming your parents. Quit blaming your boss. Quit blaming the government. And look at yourself and start focusing on what God is doing inside of you. He'd say this. He'd say, your response to an offense will determine your future. How Joseph responded to the offense of his brothers determined his future. Because as you know the story, he had a chance to get even. His brothers didn't recognize him because he looked like an Egyptian. He'd taken on a different name. But Joseph knew exactly who they were. So I just tell you this. Here's a little application that I try to live by. Travel through life light. When I travel with my wife, we're going to be gone for at least one day. There's a suitcase that tall. Weighs about 95 pounds. And I said, baby, we're going to have to travel a little bit lighter than this. You know, I mean, we're just staying overnight. Yeah, but you don't know what the stuff I've got. Like, I understand that, sweetheart, but still, we need to travel light. Don't carry a lot of baggage. Are you hearing me? When you go through life, don't carry all that baggage. Because all that baggage just slows you down. It just slows you down. You're going through the airport, all of it is just going to slow you down. So travel through light, light. Don't carry excess baggage. Joseph didn't carry the baggage because in Genesis chapter 50, he responded like this. When his brothers came in, they said, oh, please don't kill us. Look what Joseph's response was. You intended to harm me. But God intended it for good. Boy, talk about strength. You thought that you were going to break me and damage me. You were going to make me quit and give up on life. But you know what? God saw through all of these 23 years. And you know what? He did it for His glory and for His good. There's people in this room this morning who need to unpack some bags. You've been carrying some weights that are slowing you down. They're sucking the life out of you. And then Joseph would say this. He'd say, every dream has tough times, but remember that God is always with you. This is something that you have to feel that you can't feel. You just have to trust this. I'm not going to comment on this point. I'm just going to read some scripture because I think the Holy Spirit just wants to, you just need to hear the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to some of you. I don't know what you came in with. I don't know if you've considered just throwing in the towel. But I want you to be encouraged this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 139, verses 8 through 10 says this. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Jeremiah said, don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Verse 19, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. And in the words of Jesus, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'd like for us all to just bow our heads this morning. I'd like our worship team to come back.
As I was in prayer yesterday, just saying, Lord, I don't know how would you like to conclude this service today? And the Lord spoke just as clear to me. He said, I want you to sing. I said, Lord, that's a strange way to end a service. And he said, that's how I want you to do it. I'm going to sing a song that I have sang for years and years. And a friend of mine, he's the one that made it huge, he and his family. I want you to understand, church, you don't have to give up. Even when your life looks like you've gone sideways for years, the Lord is going to watch over you because he's always with you. He'll take you through the fire. He didn't say everything was going to be easy, but he did say he'd be with us.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.